Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. We got AJ, we got Eric, we got Rudo, and we're joined by old friend Evan Rowell. Back on the show to discuss the one man he knows the most about in hockey.
I know other things, but this has, I guess, become my thing.
You know plenty. You just, if anyone needs to know anything about Nikolai Kovalenko, we all know who to go to.
You got
to
get a niche going in this world, I guess.
How has it been for you over the last 72 hours, you know, or week? I guess maybe the last week or so.
I don't know. He's here. That's all. No one's seen him really, but he's here. So it's been, once he's here, I guess we'll be like, okay, it's more real now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been good. It's been a whole culmination, I guess.
Instagram post at the airport, and then it was like,
I'm going to bed.
He got loaned to the AHL, and it was like, oh, we're still in this mode, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see. More immediate news about him is a little bit all over the place, right? He obviously got here. They say he's still injured. They also, Bednar today said, hey, he's going to play for the Avs this season when he's good to go. So what are your real expectations for what Kovalenko gets this season?
This year it's tough. This injury has really thrown a wrench in kind of everything, because you hear the way Bednar talked to him about him today, he's excited. I've said all along, I think he's a guy that once Bednar gets his eyes on him up close, he's going to really like how he plays, his intensity. But if he's hurt and he's not able to get in until maybe the last like seven games of the year, it really limits kind of how much he can do this year. So, you know, he's going to have a really short period of time where he can make an impression. And then from there, it's, you know, injuries. I guess if injuries occur, then he's a guy. But I don't know. It's just tough to say until he actually is healthy.
Fair enough. We'll get into the actual roster a little bit later, but focusing on Kovalenko for now, AJ and I have been high on him for a long time, watched some of him in Russia, but I'll leave it to you. When you look at Kovalenko and his game, one, how good of a fit do you think he is in Colorado? And I know the answer to this, but do you truly believe he's an NHLer?
You know the answer is yes. I think he is. How good of one he is, that remains to be seen. As far as the fit goes, he's not like, I mean, you guys, he's not the best skater in the world. But he can skate, and I think he plays the pressure style that Jared Bednar is going to like. So I think that's what makes him a fit in Colorado, is that he's a very intense guy. He likes to forecheck. He's physical. So I think there's a fit there. But I do think he's an NHL player right now, and it's just a matter of getting him in there and seeing what he can do on the ice, because it is a different game. The KHL to the NHL is very, very different, as you guys would know.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess we'll see what he does when he actually gets here.
The transition will be super interesting. He does play a more heavy physical style than most players do in the KHL. I am curious to see how that translates to an NHL game where that's a lot more par for the course.
Yeah, exactly. He's more of a unicorn over in Russia than he would be here, I would have to imagine. And he does run around a fair bit over in Russia, and that was kind of the one thing people said when they saw my film room, was like, oh, he might have to defend himself a fair bit here. And it's like, I don't know if he's really afraid of doing that. He seems like the type of guy who's like, oh, I'll do that if I have to. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that physicality, and what, because he is kind of a chaos agent. I think he's a little bit like Miles Woodward. There's a lot of chaotic moments with him out there, and I wonder how much the Avs are going to have to calm him down a little bit at this level.
When we talked to Bob Harley about him a couple of weeks ago, he described Kovalenko as more of a goal scorer,
mm-hmm.
which I know you and I had talked about. It was a kind of a surprising description of him as a player, but he viewed him as more of a top six type of option. I'm curious your thoughts on it, having watched him more closely than either of us have this year in the KHL.
This was a weird year for him because he just disappeared for long periods of time. And, I mean, we talk about the Avs, like, day to day, week to week. Like, I tried to get information on what was going on with him over there, and it was very much like, nobody knows. So, because one day he was playing, and then the next day he was gone for 6 weeks. So, it's very difficult to know what his injury was, but there was some thought that it was a wrist injury that first part of the year. So, I think his goal scoring was impacted a little bit by that. His rate went down this year as far as goal scoring goes, but as far as what type of player he is, I've always looked at him as a playmaker. I think he looks to pass a lot more than he looks to shoot, which the Avs have a lot of that right now. But yeah, I've always looked at him as more of a playmaker. He's kind of like a more skilled Logan O'Connor is kind of how I view him as a player.
Do we know how good his English actually is? I know he can sort of understand it, but I don't know how much he can speak it.
I never reached out to his agent, tried to get some interviews, nothing happens. But, I mean, I think it's okay. We'll find out whenever he talks, but I would have to think it's okay. Brandon Kozin played with him. We talked to him in training camp, and he said he's a very confident guy. But they had a lot of Americans on that team this year over in Torpedo, so I do think there is some English there, and I know he was taking lessons at the start of the year. They talked about that, so I think he does speak English. We just don't know how good.
Eric, back in your playing days, were there ever any communication issues with some of the players you played with? Is that a real thing that happens, or is it kind of hockey universal language type stuff?
Buddy, it is real. It is real, and that's why we talked about, was it yesterday or 2 days ago about Mikko, and I was saying about his posse now, his, you know, like
the Finnish buddies.
Buddies, and you know, I had that in New York. I remember a bunch of Czech guys with Peter Nedved, and it makes a difference. I mean, I know for years here, my dad was trying to help Peter Forsberg out with a patriotic buddy, a Swede buddy, and yeah, it never really happened until we made a trade for Tommy Salo, if you guys remember, like and it was all about like making Peter feel comfortable. And And it does matter, and the language does matter, and the communication out there, when your English is better, you communicate better with your teammates, you make less mistakes, you're more confident in the locker room, you're more confident away from the ice. So the English, it is a big deal. Like, I'll tell you a quick story. I played with a guy named Denis Sigarov in L.A. I got traded in that Grant Fuhr deal, if I remember, from Buffalo to L.A., And it might sound stupid, but one night, like, he blocked a shot, went to the hotel because he was living at LAX Marriott there, because, you know, just got traded, and we got the story from the hotel manager like a couple days later, but because he couldn't tell us the story because he didn't speak English. But, you know, it sounds stupid, but what I'm going to say, it's funny. But it's not funny in the sense that if the language is not there, there's a barrier. So Cigar blocked the shot. His ankle was swollen. So he's at the hotel. It's now midnight. He's after the game. And next thing you know, there's cops. There's freaking ambulances. There's fire, you know. So he called 911. You need an ice bag.
Oh,
because
he'd
been told 911. I'm just saying. And it, you know, it sounds funny because it is funny as shit. But there's, you know what I mean? So you think it's like simple. It's a different culture. It's a different like animal. It's a different thing. Now, him, I think, is a little different. I mean, I played against his dad for years. Obviously, his dad being part of the Patrick Waugh trade and obviously an original Avalanche.
Certainly has some exposure to North America.
That's, he had to have had, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know the math right now. Like, if he was born or, you know what I mean? Like, is he born there? Is he born in North America?
He was born in North Carolina, I think.
Yep. He's playing, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's right. You know, so, and again, the kid was young and everything. But the dad, been around the National Hockey League for a lot of years. It makes it easier to talk to your son about the transition. And you would think probably, you know, would have invested in maybe some English lessons a little bit the last few years, knowing that you're coming over. Because I remember, if I remember Kobe's English, his dad, I didn't play with him, so I missed him. But I don't think it was the best. You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, he was a little tank. He was a good player. I think he's you're describing him kind of like what his dad was. Mm-hmm. And he was a good player, you know. And those guys are built like brick shit houses. Like, they're just, they are built. You know what I mean? And it looks like the sun is built the same way. So, yeah, I think the English is a big deal. It does make a big difference. And now you're looking, you have, you know, Val that's also here, and then you have Trennan, right? It does make a difference, you know what I mean? It's kind of fun because it's not that you're trying to segregate yourself with the guys that are like you, meaning from the same country, but it just makes it a little simpler, you know, if there's questions or issues or, and like I said, Evan wasn't there last week. We were talking about trade deadline and everything. You get to a new team, it's tough, man. You don't know where to sit on the bus. You don't know where to sit on the plane. You don't know what do you do in the locker room, like the ritual before the game when everybody taps everyone. You know what I mean? You don't want to be in the way, you know. So it's kind of nice when you have someone that can help you, you know what I mean, where you feel comfortable. And sometimes it's your native tongue and it makes it easier.
And I've talked to – we have a guy in Nashville who works for the network here, and he said that Trennan was very much the mentor for the young Russians out in Nashville. So, you know, I don't know if, obviously, I think Trennan's fit in really well already on the ice, but that's a nice added bonus if you're bringing in a young Russian who's never played in North America before, to have a guy who might take him under his wing. And he's also new in town, so they can kind of connect there too. And I'm thinking back, he did interviews when he got drafted, so he definitely speaks English.
Well, he did the interviews in Russian, but he listened in English. Okay. So I don't know how well he speaks it.
Okay.
But as you guys mentioned, Val, Trennan, and then Georgiev also speaks Russian. So there are a handful of Russian speakers in Colorado that can help with that if and when it is necessary.
Also, he's not with the Az right now, but Ivan Prosvetov said he's known Kovalenko since they were like 10 years old. So
huge.
They go way back too.
And funny story on that, just 10 seconds, but working with Calgary, it was the funniest thing because, as you guys know, I was a pro guy, not an amateur guy, so don't ask me where those guys played when they were freaking 18. I have no idea, you know what I mean? But so we had a big discussion about Andrei Burakovsky, and that's what I brought up. You know, I say, we don't have a Russian guy here. It's not going to be good. And then all of a sudden, I was told to shut the fuck up because Burakovsky's not Russian, you know? So I assumed he was Russian, and then I was like, huh? What is he? He's not even Sweden. He's
Austrian.
He's Austrian. Yeah.
Exactly. He, so there you go. I look really good in that meeting.
Under Sweden flag as well, though.
But I look really good in that meeting. Like, he's like, we have plenty of his. It's all Swedes in Calgary. I'm like, oh, yeah. Maybe I'll just shut the fuck up.
What's worse, that or Warren Fajeli?
Oh, buddy, that was funny. I had no idea who they were talking about. They were talking about this Warren Fajeli, and I was like, after like 2 hours dealing, I'm like, who? I'm sorry. Like, I know the Hurricanes aren't one of my team, but who's this Fajeli guy? Like, I've never heard of him.
Is this when you were scouting?
Yeah. And then they were talking about Warren Fogle.
Yeah, I'm here to watch.
But McGrattan was talking about them because that was his team. He's talking about Warren Fajeli. And I was like, fuck, I'm sorry. I don't know who this Fajeli is. Like, I have to admit it. Like, I don't know who he is. Maybe I haven't done my work well, but I don't have a Fajeli. Like, I've never seen a Fajeli. So, it was more formal. But.
Believe it, folks. NHL organizations are dysfunctional sometimes.
And just so you guys know, I won't come up with a name, but there's been trades before where guys have traded the wrong guy, just so you know.
That's embarrassing.
Remember that.
Well, let's move directly on from that and talk about March Madness and Circa Sportsbook. You may have noticed we have our live show going on right now as part of March Madness. Going on downstairs, you can probably hear them yelling about their bets down there. That's going on all weekend if you want to join us and make some bets on the Circa Sportsbook app. You can go to circasports.com, download the app today. I know Dre's already hit a few bets. I don't know how well the other guys are doing down
there.
Adam's
getting crushed.
Is he getting smoked? Tough one, bud. Tough day for him. So follow Dre's bets and not Adam's.
I NBA suppose. Guys can't translate to college ranks. That's all it is, man.
Got him
That's
again.
That's all it is.
They just see the pro game. It's what it's about. If you think you know a good bet, Circus Sports Book is the place to do it. Go jump on it with them. Again, go to circusports.com to download their sportsbook app today. Get in on all the March Madness action. And, of course, if you are staying in Vegas for whatever the reason, whether it be just for fun, maybe you're coming out there to for the draft this year. We hope to do that. You can do it with Circa Sports and save 20% when you book at circusports.com and use code DNVR. Of course, when you gamble with the Circus Sportsbook app, bets can only be made while physically located in the state of Colorado. You must be 21 or older. All rights reserved. Circus Sports Colorado encourages you to gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER or visit problemgamblingcolorado.org. Then, we're brought to you by Breck Brew, the craft beer of DNVR. You can go get yourself some, whatever flavor you might like. They have dozens of them. They even have rotating seasonal beers. Bunch of ton of delicious beers even from Breckenridge Brewery. And they're available in all 50 United States. Make sure you go to breckbrew.com and use the online beer locator to find them at a liquor store near you. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. I kind of want to get into a couple of different angles with the Avalanche and Kovalenko. A lot of us felt it was probably inevitable that he was going to come over, part of that being he was a Russian that actually went to the draft for a late round guy. That's not super common. Mm-hmm. Obviously he had the connections through his father, but we've also seen over the last couple of years a couple of false starts with the Avs and Russian prospects. Andre Mironov did not work out at all, obviously. You also had Daniil Zaravlyov, a weird situation where he left in the middle of the mm-hmm. season. Igor Shvirev, guy who never really graduated from the AHL level. Does Kovalenko have the talent to overcome those guys? Also, is he going to play for the Eagles this year?
I'm not convinced, because the wording of that, whatever they have sent out, was we've sent them on loan to rehab.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. I mean, you can interpret that either way you want. And then Schneekloth last night just said, hey, I don't, till he's healthy, he's not in my hands. So to me, that reads like, oh, he might not play down there. This just could be like a money thing where they're just trying to let him rehab without paying. But I'm not convinced he does. And as far as everything else goes, he seems very, very committed to playing in the NHL. I think he was quoted, like, it kind of threw people off a couple months ago where he said, yeah, I'm not playing, this is my last KHL season. I'm planning on this being my last KHL season. I don't plan on being back next year. So he is very committed. And obviously I think there's been probably some sort of agreement with the Avs, like, hey, we think you are an NHL player. Like Chris McFarland, I asked him and he said, yeah, we think he can help down the stretch. We know there's going to be an adjustment. And then I think on the altitude broadcast, he just brought him up out of nowhere. Like, the organization seems to believe that he can be an NHL player, and they're going to have a need for that next year because cap's going to be tight. They're going to need a guy on an ELC to come in next year to play. So I think he's in it for the long haul, and, you know, obviously we see how he adjusts, but I think he's kind of the type of player that can fit. He doesn't have to be in the top six, which is kind of what we always talk about with Russian players, where they're so skilled where they need to play on a skilled line. No, I don't think he needs to play there. I think he can play on like with a guy like Ross Colton and really contribute to the team.
I'm curious what you think about his positional versatility, because there was all that conversation at the end of the KHL season. He's playing center in the KHL playoffs, but we've never looked at him as a true center possibility in the NHL. The Avalanche are kind of deep at wing. Even mm-hmm. next year, if you look at the moment, Miles Wood's still on the books. Logan O'Connor will come back healthy. If Gabe Landeskog is healthy enough to start next season, your top nine, like, you don't really have spots available mm-hmm. at the wing. To be honest with you, you don't really have a spot available at center anymore either. So it kind of becomes a, you know, they're not going to have the money to keep Jonathan Drouin anyway. But where does Nikolai Kovalenko even fit into this in terms of position where he plays?
He can play anywhere, but the center stuff, the way that he, so he played center, but it was very bizarre. He would take the face off and then go play wing. It's like, this is a weird way of playing center.
The Gabe Landeskog special.
Yeah, but it's not like he's a center where he's really good at faceoffs. Yeah. He was decent at faceoffs, but he wasn't necessarily dominant there. So I think it was more they were trying to change it up. I do feel like that kind of helped him because he was touching the puck a lot more, and he kind of was on a slump towards the end of the year, and it really got him going again. But I don't see him necessarily being a center in the NHL. He's not a big guy. And, you know, typically I think the Avs would probably want a center that's maybe a little bit bigger that can handle things. I do think he's more of a wing moving forward than a center. And I think he does benefit from kind of being along the wall. He likes to grind things out and, you know, play that way. So it doesn't hurt to have that versatility. And he seems like the type of guy who would do anything that the coach asks him to. But I don't see him being a center in the NHL. That was fun for like a week. I made the joke, oh, there's your 2C before the trade deadline. But no, I don't see him being a center in the NHL.
When we were talking about him, is that their 4C answer? Because
Nate?
They didn't go and do anything at the deadline for that position specifically. Like, closest they got was Yakov Trenin, mm-hmm. who's...
He's winning kinda, faceoffs.
Yeah, he's winning defensive zone faceoffs in particular, which is like... That's kind of all I cared about when it came to the 4C spot.
Maybe. I mean, they don't really have a center on the fourth line, so they could kind of rotate in and out. But, yeah, I think Trenin, I feel like, has more experience. He hasn't played in a long time, but Trenin makes a lot more sense as a center there. Put them together, though. Two Russian dudes together.
You can just speak Russian together on the mm-hmm. ice. It'll be great.
Would you keep him on the right side?
I like him on the right side, but he did play a lot of left wing, too, so I think he's versatile in that way. I mean, I've talked to Miko about it. Those European guys and guys that play overseas, they like playing on the right wing where they can – or their off wing where they can see the ice a little bit more, and you have to be good on your backhand, and he is pretty good on his backhand, but I think in a perfect world he would be on the – if I'm looking at the Avs lineup right now, that Colton line is the line I'm looking at where I think he could add something that maybe they don't have right now. And that's an influx of some skill.
I wanted to get into that future a little bit with Kovalenko. You kind of mentioned, yeah, in the immediate, he's probably a bottom six guy for Colorado. Mm-hmm. He's not a teenager anymore. He's not really a young prospect. He's, what, 23, 24?
Yeah.
He's 24, yeah.
So not like 26, 27 at his peak or anything yet either. But realistically... Can you project Kovalenko out as even a second line guy, or are you really looking at a middle six at best here?
I think his top end would be kind of like a Lekkonen type guy, where he's not going to drive a line, but I could see him being the type of guy that you could put with like a MacKinnon for a little bit, and he has enough skill where he could keep up, and he's going to do a lot of the dirty work, and do that job where they go to the net and let Miko and Nate kind of handle a lot of the puck work. But I wouldn't necessarily anticipate him being a top six guy. I think he's kind of like a second, third line guy where he fits best in that role. And, you know, his year last year got everyone excited. Oh, it's a Kirill Kaprizov. Do the Avs have another guy? It's like, no, I don't. He's not that guy. He's not that guy. Let's keep expectations realistic. Because... you know, people look at his numbers and they're like, what's so exciting about him? And to me, the most exciting part about him is that he's very much an NHL guy playing in the KHL. He plays like an NHL player. And you hear Jared talked about him today. The first thing, he's like, he's really good. He's gritty. He's physical. You know, he can do a little bit of everything. And that, to me, is the type of guy that he's going to want to play at some point and get his eyes on.
Eric, you... worked as a scout for a good while in the NHL, maybe a little bit more on the pro side in North America than KHL stuff, but you've looked at AHL guys. How do you project skills from one league to another into the NHL?
Yeah, and I always say there's guys that can score 50 goals in the American League that can't score 3 in the NHL, and then there's guys, LOC, can score 12, 15 in the American League and will score 12, 15 in the NHL. It's just where you fit in the lineup. It's always on projections. Kovalenko right now is still on projections because you drafted him on projection. Now you're projecting that he's not, like AJ just said, like
Evan just said, he's a 24-year-old dude. He's not 18. He's not 19. He's not Kale McCarr coming in from college at 20 years old or whatever Kale was at the time. This is a 24-year-old man playing in the men's league in Russia, right? Russian league. KHL is a good league. He's not playing college hockey. And not that college hockey is not good. I'm saying he's playing against men, you know, so... You're projecting that he's going to come here, and that's what Bednar's saying, Evan's saying, what everybody's saying is, and I'll say what I say all the time, make them make decisions. You know what I mean? Make Bednar make decisions and say, oh, I like this guy. You know what I mean? And then we all know how Bednar is, and not just Bednar, any coach. You know what I mean? Like, there's a trust factor. Like, oh, you trust him. Then you're like, oh, I like him. Oh, he's a great fit there. And let them make decisions, because take it out of your hands and put it in their hands by – being ready. We all know he's injured right now. Okay, great, awesome. You know, it doesn't look like it's a major injury, so he's going to be back on skates here very shortly, very soon, assuming. But once you're ready, come on in. It's not training camp. This is like 10 games, whatever it is, away from the big dance, and he won't have a lot of leeway to. So he better be ready, and this is probably where it comes in when you have bloodlines, and it's kind of nice, you know, he can talk with his dad, and knowing what his dad went through back then and knowing what this type of... And he's been around this environment, so to speak, by just watching the NHL, I'm assuming, over the years and make an impact right away. And it sounds like he's going to be given a chance to give and to make an impact. Chris has talked about him. Jared's talked about him. We all talk about him, Evan especially, but... No, not in a nice way.
That's my thing. I'm leaning into it now.
Not in a sarcastic way, in a good way. I'm saying, but, you know, and you've done research. Everybody's saying the same thing. Like, come on over here. Let's see what you got and go from there. And, A, you can't control injuries. Like, who knew LOC was going to be down? So all of a sudden, there's a hole somewhere, right? And I know they even got Duhame trending. But still, I think he's always been part of the plan. Right? I think he's always been part of the plan that he's going to be here and help them out here down the stretch. And I think as a
coach...
They
wouldn't have signed him otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. They wouldn't have signed him at the start of the season otherwise, knowing that by doing so, then he can come and play. And then as a coach, you just want this to be done before the dance. You know what I mean? Because once the dance starts, it's a little different. But sometimes you have, all right, let's throw this guy in the fire. You know, Kale McCarr, right? Mm-hmm. But... yeah, I think I'm interested. Like I'm excited. I remember, like I said, I thought his dad was a solid NHL player, and then hopefully this guy. The one thing I hope he doesn't do is wear that bowl of soup Jofa bucket that his dad wore.
I think he might. So. He had a goofy helmet in KHL, so he might.
Buddy, that bowl of soup was awful.
I don't think that, not that type, but he does wear a different helmet.
God, it
might
was
be
bad.
Easy to spot out there.
Yeah, he is going to be easy to spot. The other thing talking about. You know, he's got the bloodlines. He did. He is coming from playing from Igor Larionov, who knows
the NHL.
Yeah. Him, it was kind of like a perfect scenario for the Avs because Joe Sakic has a relationship with Igor Larionov, and Larionov was like, listen, I know I'm going to lose this guy. I will do my best to get him ready for you. Whereas, like, we're looking at Mikhail Guliev right now, and it's like, he can't get power play time. Like, he's kind of in this weird spot where the Avs can't say anything about his development because he's on a team over there that they don't have control
all
over.
All the time with 18-year-old Russian kids that just...
It's a huge risk factor in drafting Russians. Yep. It's not Russians and their culture is weird and the players are unpredictable and they're one-way players and all. It's that, how can they develop?
Their team's playing them 6 minutes a night or whatever. Yeah. It's a little more for a defenseman.
And with Kovalenko, he's gotten so much meaningful ice time.
Yeah.
Especially over the last, like, 3 years where his play really took a leap that he has developed into a guy, in the KHL, a high-impact player. And we'll see what he becomes in the NHL. I'm not closing the door on anything just because we just don't know.
You never know.
But we've always kind of had him pegged as like if things go really well, a middle six guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right now, coming over and jumping on to this team in the middle of this thing, I mean, realistically, you should probably start him on the fourth line and just see what you have. Make him earn it from there. But not a 6 minutes give him 10.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's got to play real.
I think we're seeing that already where Jared, I think Chris said that. He's like, Jared doesn't want a third and a fourth line. He wants a bottom six.
Yeah.
And we've already seen it. Like, the last two games, those lines have played about the same. Like, there's not really a big difference there.
Ross Colton could play a little better. They might get a few more minutes. But
well, yeah. And that's why I think a guy like this could make a difference. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're going to give him a real shot. And, you know, I think it's realistic to expect him when the playoffs roll around. He's probably not going to be in the lineup game one unless there's an injury.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to make things interesting once he gets out there and shows what he can do.
I do want to jump off on this conversation, but do we have any other Kovalenko-specific questions?
Yeah, one more.
First.
Go ahead. Floor's yours.
No, feel free.
No, I was going to ask him, like, he's a good buddy of mine, but I don't know what you've heard through your contacts and, you know, in Russia mm-hmm. and Alexei Gusarov, you know, like being over there, you know, ex-Av. And I tell you one thing, he was a beloved teammate, Avalanche 1.0. So I know Joe respects him and likes him. And I know that he, being over there working for the Avalanche, being on the ground in Russia, I do believe makes a difference. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And I know it's been a few years now, but I think he's taken on a bigger role. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm talking out of my butt, but I think it's important to have someone on the ground over there, and I think mm-hmm. it facilitates things. And then again, I still love the guy, even though he gave me secondhand smoke for all those years sitting next to him in the locker room. But, you know, still a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what you heard about Goose and, you know, and his involvement over there with the Russian guys. You know, I mean, when I say the Russian prospects or guys like Kovalenko.
The guy I hear that's always in contact with Kovalenko is Miro Zalasek, who's their European scout, who's constantly talking to him. Because they've been trying to get – Kovalenko's done interviews where he said, they've been trying to get me to come to North America – essentially since he was a teenager, and he's just like, I'm not ready. And it's very much that KHL thing, especially with his dad being kind of a big wig over in the KHL, just like, I'm not going to come over to play in the AHL. Like, I want to develop and I want to play. I know I can play maybe more minutes here. And it kind of has worked out that way where he's, you know, if he had come over to North America at 20, would we, you know, who knows how his career would have taken off, because the minutes that he's getting over in the KHL have gone up, and he really is the heartbeat of that Torpedo team. Like, if you look at all the fans, like, I've been following the fans over there, like, he sent out a video to them. They're all heartbroken that he's gone, because he is that team. He is their MVP. So I do think that, you know, Miro Zalasek has been trying to talk to him for years to get him over here. I don't know how much of an impact Gusarov has had. But yeah, I think they have kept in touch with him, and that's kind of the big thing about Larionov and Sakic having such a relationship, where it's an abnormal situation where the Avs can be in touch with a KHL team that much and make a guy feel wanted as much as they have.
It's just relationships, man. They drive the league.
Yep.
It's always every time that a guy gets drafted, it's always like, all right, who's dad, brother, uncle, yeah. Like, who, what's the connection to it? Because you don't ever see a team just draft a guy randomly.
Unless they're, like, top five pick level talent.
Or yeah, whatever. Unless it's like, oh, we got to do that. But even then, you can kind of decide your draft board a little bit, sure. And say, all right, mm-hmm. we like this guy, and like this guy, and this guy, but this guy's got NHL bloodlines, so we're going to move him up a little bit, you know, like things like that. Like, relationships matter. And, mm-hmm. you know, you see the success that Kovalenko has had in the KHL, and that it took some time, but the Avalanche might get an NHL player out of a sixth round pick. So they can barely nice. Get, yeah. they can barely get NHL games out of a second round pick. That's why I started trading them all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's great. Are there any more former Avs kids playing in the KHL that they can draft and target? Scoop up.
Val, no. Ozo, no.
Because I'm already nervous about the Guliyev stuff just because it's been such a frustrating year for him in terms of his development and his ice time. So
he's already signed an extension right after the draft.
Yeah, and like
2026.
Yeah. We saw him at dev camp, and it was like, oh my God, look at this guy go. This guy can, ooh, this is an Av.
Yep.
And then it was like, all right, well, we'll see you in 4 years. Come on.
Spoke no English whatsoever.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That was very but he was, like, very popular in the locker room, but he just spoke no... Malinsky was like, oh, man, that guy was a hoot.
All right, before we dive into more Avs-related topics, make sure you fuel up at Circle K with their Inner Circle. Become part of the Inner Circle today at CircleK.com/innercircle. Great way to save yourself a ton of money. Your first five fill-ups of gas are 25 cents off a gallon. You can also get five free Polar Pops and a bunch of great deals on snacks every time you stop in at Circle K with your Inner Circle rewards, including right now you can get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K's by texting DNVR to 31310. It's DNVR to 31310. Message and data rates may apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Sign up with the QR code on screen right there. Or again, visit CircleK.com/innercircle for more information today. And once you got your snacks, save them for halftime for your Volo Sports game. Whatever sport you might be playing, Volo Sports is the way to do it. They're the biggest sports social media company, media, just normal social, not social media. You go in person and play real sports. DNVR, setting up a bowling league. Got some 6v6 action going there. Tons of other ones, too, though. Soccer, flag football, basketball, pickup, you name them. They host all sorts of events and tournaments, which you can get into all the time when you get your Volo pass for just $20 a month. And in fact, when you sign up for that Volo pass using code DNVR3, it's just $10 a month for the first 3 months. So join Volo today, go have some fun sports action, and get to know some people around the city. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Evan, you kind of mentioned it there. Kovalenko, very reasonable chance that when the chips are down, he might not be in the Avs starting lineup. If you are putting him in the lineup, somebody has to come out.
Oh, boy.
Miles Wood, Andrew Cogliano, Brandon Duhaime. Who's the guy on the outside if Kovalenko is playing?
Oh, boy. I would have said Duhaime a week ago because he felt like the guy that they brought in for depth, but that's, I think he's been...
He's been so good.
He's been really good, especially on the penalty kill. He's been really good on the penalty kill.
Yep.
Now, obviously, there's a chance that that could dip. I think he is a fourth line guy. Like, that's kind of what he's brought in to be. So I think he's somebody you can move in and out. But that would be somebody I could see. Miles Wood's play has dipped, I would say, pretty significantly. And when they bring in all these other penalty killers, you kind of lose him in the mix there too. So I guess he would be another one. Whenever people say Cogliano, I'm like, there's no way. I can't imagine any way that they're scratching Andrew Cogliano for a playoff game.
I don't disagree with you, but if you're looking solely at play and not at name.
He's so beloved in that locker room and such a key part of, like, the culture here that they would have to drag him out of the lineup to put a young kid in. I just can't see that happening. So I would say, you know, Wood... Part of me, like, since Parise's come back, he hasn't quite looked the same. I'm wondering if he's still kind of bugged by the knee injury or whatever he was dealing with. So I guess maybe there, because he is a little older, you might want to give him a break here and there. But those would be the three guys, I would think, that maybe he could replace.
Their minutes would all suggest that they're on that cut line.
Yeah.
Just that usage, because all those guys are right there. Zach Parise hasn't played a ton. Mm-hmm. Since he got back from injury, I think I agree with you. He hasn't looked quite the same. It being a lower body injury, I think something's bugging him. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice if Kovalenko could get healthy and get into the lineup and give Zach Parise a breather. And either Zach Parise or Nikolai Kovalenko becomes your 13 in game one. That's a pretty good. You feel like you're in a good situation there.
Yeah, I mean, we saw in 2022 they used everyone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're going to need everyone, and I think he's going to play in the playoffs regardless. It just might not be game one.
I always try to remind people the year that the Avs won the Stanley Cup, Nicholas Aube-Kubel played in game one, and Alex Newhook did not.
Yep. And Burakovsky was a scratch.
Yeah.
They rotated guys in and out.
Everyone's going to play. It's such a grueling 2 months, and knock on wood, you know, like.
Well, and injuries are inevitable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's not like big ones. But there's always a guy missing a game here and there, you know, so good problem to have. Yeah. It's when you're looking back and you're like, who do I have to put in?
Like last year.
Yeah. There you go.
Matt Nieto, second line, you're left thinking, wing.
Last year, like, man, we could have used a guy like Kovalenko on our second line for all we know. We were playing Lars Eller, 2C.
Yep, it was rough.
It's a good problem to have this year.
Just to reinforce your point, the last game the Avs played against St. Louis, Andrew Cogliano, 9:17 of ice time. Ross Colton, only 9:55. Zach Parise, just over 10 minutes. Brandon Duhaime, 11:22. So those are the bottom guys on the totem pole as far as TOI.
Really does feel like the days, for the moment, the days of the six-minute fourth-line forward are behind Jared Bednar because he's got options he actually wants to play.
Yep. Yeah.
I wish that meant more time for Casey Mittelstadt. He only played like 13-something in that last game.
Did not feel like a ton, yeah.
Yeah. He needs to get a little more like 15 to 17. He's been too effective.
I agree with that.
That line is finding it, and it's just like...
I don't think the first power play got off the ice last game.
That's it. Yeah. The games before he got his 40 seconds where last game was back to like...
Bednar just can't help himself in close games with those top guys.
Especially, and that one was frustrating. I wrote about this in Studs and Duds, so I'm sorry that I'm repeating myself. But okay, also, you should just go read it. But it was frustrating because that top line was terrible. Like, Mikko Rantanen has a hat trick, and that's great. But basically everything else from that game, that top line was bad. They got obliterated in every number imaginable except goals, which obviously count. Not trying to say any of that. I'm just saying in the third period of a one-goal game, you've gotten three goals out of your top line, and they continue to get their head kicked in. Like, you don't need to play your top line 24 minutes. You don't need to play them 24 minutes. Like, let's just reel it back just a bit, my guy here. Casey Mittelstadt has played well enough. Like, let's see what happens. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it definitely... It did feel like it was the power play because I think in Vancouver he played almost 20 minutes.
Yep.
Well, he was on power play in that game.
He was.
Drouin didn't play. And then against Edmonton, I think he was 18 minutes. It was just kind of where I can see him settling in, which is when it was the last time Ryan Johansson played 18 minutes or Ross Colton. Like, that's a...
2021?
The fact that it took four games for Jared to be like, yeah, I can play this guy, that says a lot about how well he's played.
Yep. I wanted to get your thoughts on these new guys and how they're fitting in, Evan. I think most of us here are pretty high on all of them, but their fits, you know, Mittelstadt, I think, is pretty straightforward as the 2C, but we've seen Duhaime and Trennan move around the lineup a little bit as the Avs have needed bodies. How does it ultimately shake out for those new guys?
Trennan has been awesome. He kind of reminds me of Val when Val first got here.
Yeah,
where man. He's all right, we're on the same page. Where he's had so many scoring chances, but he can't score. Yeah. It feels like once that first one goes in, like, it's just gonna keep coming. Like, I could definitely see him being a guy where they're like, we want to keep this guy around for a while.
They don't have 92 and a half games though.
No, they
he's
don't.
He's gotta. We need him to get going before that.
Pick it up. Duhaime's been really good. I think we've. You know, it's kind of been the same thing where I think there is a skill ceiling there, but for what he was brought in to do, he's done exactly that. And I think Mittelstadt's been just a revelation. Like, it's really, like, you look at the lineup, you're like, is one guy really making that much of a difference in the lineup where it's just like you plop a 2C in there, everyone goes down, and all of a sudden the team is just unstoppable. Like, he has been exactly what they needed. He's so calm with the puck, and it's everywhere on the ice. Like, he has no pulse when he has the puck, which is a compliment. It's, and then Walker, guy's shot out of a cannon every freaking night, it looks like. Could you imagine a better fit for this system than what that guy has brought? So it's just been, so far pro scouting looks like they went 4-for-4. And if you throw Kovalenko in there, then all of a sudden this team is looking real deep and real good.
Yeah, in a matter of a couple of weeks, you will have added Nichushkin, those four guys, and Kovalenko to your lineup.
Half a new forward core.
This is why we don't, just going to harp on this one last time, this is why we don't freak out about the roster on February 10th. All right, guys? This is why you just let it play out and then freak out when things do or don't happen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to harp on a guy because they're going to make fun of me. I'm not. But with the names you just said, the four or five names, that's additions. But there was a subtraction that was big. Well, one of them at forward. And it just wasn't a fit. He was not a fit. I mean, and I'm not here to harp on him. But it just was not a fit for that roster and the way they play. So now you added those four or five guys, and then you took out an anchor. Like, that was hindering your lineup a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, he's a good player. He's had a great career. That's not what I'm saying. But it wasn't a fit here. So that's a big plus. And you're seeing dividends right now.
Flip side of that question, what is left that is a problem for this Colorado Avs lineup? Then the new guys have seemingly solved their penalty kill.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what are the Avs? Is Yakov trending good on that PK?
Outrageous. Yes. Is there a serious problem facing this team as they hurtle towards the playoffs?
I mean, everyone's going to talk about goaltending, but I think since the break, Georgiev has been...
It's been better.
It's been good. Like, sure, he's had his games here and there, but having a backup that will actually play games and give him some nights off seems to have made a huge difference.
Yep.
Beyond that, like, the only thing holding them back is I just think the West is... It's tough. Like, it's a tough conference. Like, the Avs could be loaded this year and just run into, like, Vegas in the first round, and it's just like, oh, what could happen here? Like, Vegas is a good team, too. So I think that and injuries. Like, this team is built to go. I think it's about finding the right fits. I don't know if I love Drouin and Mittelstadt together. I think they're just so passy together where I think, you know, I actually want to see them. You know, we saw during the cup run where they separated Rantanen and McKinnon. Mm-hmm. This could be a time to I guess, test that out, see if that works, because Mittelstadt and Rantanen could be a good combo, too.
Evan, confirmed listener of the pod.
I'm in the comment section sometimes.
Yeah, we see you in there once or twice.
I won't back away from my stance on the goaltending. Like, I'm not saying goaltending's bad. It's obviously been good lately, and I'm a big Eustace Hanninen fan, and so am I a fan of Georgiev, as you guys know. My only thing is that's why I said they needed to address it, is when things go south, I just would have liked to have an older fella. Nothing against Eustace. He's got 13 career games, so he can't be there for Georgiev and be a mentor for him. Because, oh, they have a goalie coach. No, I understand that. It's just like the patriotism, like I said earlier, a guy from your own country and everything. When you have a goaltender that's been there that can just take you aside and sit with you on the plane and go eat on the road with you, it just makes a difference. So we're going to cross our fingers. You know what I mean? Because it would only happen when things go south. And you got to remember, it's almost rosy. Rudo always says that. Oh, it's good. It's good till it's not good, right? You know, it's true. It's such a stupid line, but it's so true. And then in playoffs, you lose a game, the soup gets hot. You lose two, it's boiling. And I just wish that it just didn't happen. I'm not going back on it. We give them an A plus on the trade deadline. But just looking back at it, I just wish there would be a guy there just to give the big fella a hug. I mean, when I say the big fella, the little smaller fella, because Hanninen's 6'6", but Georgiev a hug to make sure that the soup doesn't get too hot and he gets out of his comfort, you know, because it's a lot of pressure.
No,
and it's a lot of pressure for a goaltender that plays net for a team that is supposed to go win it all. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure.
The way that it's gone, though, man, the soup gets too hot. You just change the soup at this point.
I agree with you.
Eustace in and let it ride, baby.
I don't think they will.
Let it ride!
I agree, but I don't think they will. But
is it almost more pressure because this, to me, feels like the 2022 team where it's like, you don't have to win us the game, just don't lose us the game. Like, right. So is that more pressure for a goaltender? Cause
it is. It is, and the Avs have the puck the whole game. And a lot of games, you get cold for 10, 12 minutes, you get nothing. And that's what I always complain about, because then all of a sudden it's like two, three shots, and then two of them go in, and you're like, it's a lot of pressure. Even go back to 0-1. Win it for Ray. Like, but you had Patty Y in there, one of the guys that had won three, a guy that knew how to handle the pressure, and it's a little bit easier. But when you're a goalie like Edmonton Oilers, you tell me Stuart Skinner doesn't have a lot of pressure this playoffs? Holy schnitzkies, I wouldn't want to be him. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it's a lot. It's a tough position. It's a tough position. But right now, it's going good, so.
Soup is going good.
All good.
Got the soup on, I guess. Cooking it right. I did want to ask about the around the league a little bit, too. Putting you on the spot a little bit here, Evan, but prediction, do the Avs win the Central?
Yeah, I do. The way things are going, and I think especially this homestand, it's not like a super difficult homestand. So they've got a chance to really bank some points here. So,
yep.
I mean, they just look like such a different team since the trade deadline. I don't want to say it's the additions, but the subtraction part really does.
It makes a big difference.
Like, calling, like, not to bag on the guy while he's gone, but he really was an anchor in that lineup. Like, it was obvious from the start that it just wasn't a fit. Like, if you can't skate on this team, you stick out like a sore thumb.
Yep.
And, you know, I think people were saying in the chat, like, it's weird how Bednar's been so strict about McKinnon and Rantanen together all year. It's like, did Johansson deserve a Mikko Rantanen on his line? I don't think so. Like, you got to earn that, and they know it works, and it wasn't going to work there. So it's been such a huge difference. Like, I think they are going to win the Central.
I know there's a lot of Ryan Johansson slander taking place. But
awesome guy to talk to, I'll say that.
That guy didn't make you a great hockey player.
I also think that the change from Bowen Byram to Sean Walker has been notable because, you know, we all feel Bowen Byram could have a great career in the NHL. He's not a great NHL player right now. Mm-hmm. And what Sean Walker has done, he's playing next to Jack Johnson.
He was this close to a hat trick the other night.
And he's playing next to Jack Johnson, and all of a sudden Jack Johnson looks
serviceable,
revitalized. You know, the Jack Johnson all of a sudden is starting to look different, and you're kind of looking at the defense and you're going,
they might be really good again.
Okay, I'm not trying to say that this is all Bowen Byram's fault, but who Sean Walker is as a player right now today has been a better fit for the Avalanche defense than what Bowen Byram had been. And Walker has given them the ability to roll three pairings with effectiveness. Because you have a night like the other night where your top pairing played like shit in St. Louis, but your other pairings, Sam Girard and Josh Manson, those guys balled out.
Yep.
But you also got solid nights out of Jack Johnson and Sean Walker. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously the Edmonton game, Sean Walker was a monster. But that change, I think, you know, the difference in Johansson to Mittelstadt is astronomical. But I just don't want it to get lost that the change from Byram to Sean Walker has also been transformative for the way that defense is utilized. And it's top-to-bottom effectiveness.
Part of that is, I mean, Bo was being put in a position that I don't think he was super comfortable with, playing that right side. I talked to him a lot of times during the year, like, hey, at the start of the year, he's like, yeah, I'm not having it's tough. It's an adjustment. And in recent weeks, he was like, you know what, I'm starting to like it a little bit more. I'm starting to understand how to play that side. But it's not natural for him. It's not natural for a lot of guys. So to have like a Sean Walker who is a right shot, which I know Bednar and Pratt, they do value that, having three righties and three lefties. To have a guy who can just play his natural position, who's such a nice fit, like, it has made a huge difference. And I don't think Bo asked out or anything, but I do think a change is going to be a great thing for him, where he can go he can play a ton of minutes and play his net. Seems like they're playing him on his natural side too.
I've seen coaches in the NHL not play, like, have a call up instead of a guy and scratch a guy because of left, right, left, right, left, right. I mean, that's how strong of a point it is for some coaches. You know what I mean? Like, so it does make a big difference.
Funnily enough,
Russians tend to play their offside a ton.
Europeans in general.
Yeah, Europeans do as well. All right, one more question I wanted for you. Best team in the NHL right now, who's the favorite?
I mean, it's tough to not say the Avs, but that Florida team is...
Yeah.
They are a wagon, I would say. They are
We're all on the same
nasty.
Page. Yeah.
Like, they're actually so like good. A nasty team.
Yep.
And to bring it back, that's why I like Kovalenko, because he brings a bit of that.
He does.
Nasty.
Some
to Sam the lineup.
Bennett in him.
Yeah, like some of that, like, you know, pardon my. We're allowed to cuss. I don't know.
Say whatever you want, buddy.
He's a shit disturber out there. Like, he really is. Like, he will get his nose in there, and that's what Florida has up and down their lineup. And that team is mean. I would go with them.
Yep. We're all on the same page.
We're all on the same
Florida's
page.
Florida's sick.
That's the finals right there.
They're really fun to watch.
Yep.
They are.
I don't want revenge for 96, though.
That would be...
They're better than 96, like, I'll tell you that.
The yeah, one true. Cool fact that I can always tell people about the Az is they've never lost a cup finals. They're a perfect 3-0 in cup finals.
So. Florida's 0-2?
Yeah. Yep. The next, but the Avs are the only team in the NHL to have gone to a cup finals and never lost one. So
keep that going.
I'm here for that take.
4-0, the Stanley Cup sweep.
Any final thoughts before we get out of here? No?
No.
No? No? Evan, you want to tell the people where they can find all your stuff?
Yeah, it's been weird being back on the couch, not sitting in front of it. But, yeah, no, Colorado Hockey Now. If you guys want to read my stuff, read it there. Subscribe. Love everything that's happening here. Love all the guys here still. Megan, she's not here. Like, nothing but love from my end for the old crew, and it's been great to kind of be back here. Real nostalgia, because I think the last time I was back here was during the 2022 Cup run, to be honest. So yeah. It's been great.
Hopefully we can experience another run. That's what I'm here for. We are going to get out of here for it today. We're back with another game day finally. Feels like there's been way too many days off lately. But,
it's been boring, man.
Avs start this homestand here, so tune in for pregame watch along and postgame for that. We appreciate y'all, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.